From KUAR News in Little Rock, I'm Jacob Kaufman. An Arkansan has a newly minted role near the top of Congress's budget-making hierarchy. U.S. Representative Steve Womack out of Northwest Arkansas's 3rd Congressional District is the new chair of the House Budget Committee. Congressman Womack joins me on the telephone now. Thanks a lot for your time today.
My pleasure.
Arkansas has been in near shutdown status this week with some snowfall. You're facing a shutdown of a totally different proportion, though. Congress is considering yet another continuing resolution to avoid a government shutdown January 19th this Friday. Can you tell us maybe what you can do in your role with your perspective to help move back to regular order with some real non-temporary budgets?
Well, you can't do much about acts of God. So if it's a snowfall or an ice storm, that's pretty much beyond your control. However, the complications associated with what I call cliff dwelling in the vernacular of the legislative affairs of our federal government are avoidable if the Congress will muster the courage and the resolve to solve for some of these problems. But you've hit on one that's, I think, a pretty good poster child for how broken this process is. Our process was designed to pass budgets and issue top-line numbers on discretionary spending and then pass appropriations bills, and there are 12 of them. The House has done all that. The House the House Appropriations Committee did its work 6 months ago, and the full House took that package and passed it 4 months ago, but yet we have Friday to finish funding the government or partially fund the government for a certain period of time in this fiscal year, which ends on September 30th. So I think just by evidence there, it's a broken process. What I can do as chairman of the Budget Committee is preside over a committee that can offer on a bipartisan, bicameral basis some changes to our process that makes it more relevant to the contemporary political environment we're in. And that's what I consider to be one of my premier jobs.
Some Democrats say they won't support even a continuing resolution to keep the government running unless it includes some protections for DACA recipients, that's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival Program for undocumented immigrants, or also funding for CHIP, the Child Health Insurance Program. How would you propose to help resolve this impasse?
Well, the current impasse is in the hands of leadership right now, and my guess is there will be some must-pass piece of legislation that will be offered to the Senate, and it could be CHIP. And my guess is if I were wargaming this whole situation we're in right now with a looming deadline on Friday, that it probably would be CHIP that I would offer up to the Senate in exchange for at least a temporary spending bill to at least keep the wheels of government turning. The larger issue out there is what we refer to as a CAPS deal, and that is some kind of a change to present law regarding how much you can spend. Obviously, we've got a lot of people on our side of the aisle that believe in a higher defense number and are going to stand firm on getting a higher defense number because of the untold damage we've done to the national security apparatus during the period of sequestration that's been in effect now since, for several years. The cumulative effect on national defense has been, in my opinion, and in the judgment of a lot of people on our side of the aisle, very catastrophic to defense, given the proliferation of the threat worldwide. So at some point in time, we're going to have a CAPS deal. But right now, we're concentrating on at least keeping the wheels of government turning after Friday. So my guess is you'll see either CHIP or something. I don't think you're going to see it. I don't think you see DACA. I think DACA is going to be decoupled from this entire funding process. But I'm not at the leadership table making those decisions, so I can only speculate as to what the real prospects are out there.
You mentioned some of your Republican colleagues' desires, certainly for the long-term budget, that also include changes to entitlement or benefits programs like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. There's, I guess, a little bit of push to try to include some kind of changes in a continuing resolution or not, but do you think there's a point in trying to address that?
Think you're going to see any significant changes to the mandatory programs in the CR discussion that's going on right now. Now, long term, this country is going to have a conversation with itself about the impact of mandatory spending. You know, about 70% of federal spending is on the mandatory side. It's by law. You hit a certain age, you are entitled to a certain program. That's why they call them entitlement programs. And let's just be honest with ourselves. We're going to put another 30 million people on the rolls of some of these programs in the next 15 or 20 years. Some of these programs, particularly on the Medicare side, are the costs are going higher than the increase in GDP. And the fact that you're putting millions more people on those rolls automatically adds to the cost. So we have to have a conversation about that. In what shape, what form some of those changes take place, I'm a little uncertain about. I know there is consensus on the part of most people that while we need to have structural changes in those programs for long-term sustainability, we don't want to pull the rug out from underneath anybody that is either in or near retirement, that have planned their lives around the programs that are offered today by law. But, and this is significant to me, we've got to come up with the programs that are going to be applicable to a younger generation. So millennials right now that are going into their first jobs or second jobs, right, what programs, when they get to be 65 or 70 years of age, are going to be in place for them so they can begin to plan their lives around those? We don't have those. We don't know what that program is going to be. I think it's safe to say that based on sheer numbers, on math, and on actuarial studies, the programs that we have today will not be the programs that they'll fall in on. So these are things that the Congress is going to have to muster the willpower and the courage to tackle for the long-term sustainability of some social safety net program for all.
Congressman Womack, we're right up against the clock, but this will be my last question real quick. And I didn't want to bring it up initially, but I wanted to bring up the president's comments talking about how he wants more immigrants from Norway or Europe, perhaps, instead of Haiti or African nations. And I only bring it up in the context of budget talks. Some members of your party, like Tom Cole out of Oklahoma, said he's worried that it's impacting the budget process. You backed the president, I'll paraphrase, saying that we want European immigrants and not people from, quote, depraved nations who don't fit in as well. One, do you stand by those comments? And two, why not just look at the individual instead of the nation?
Well, sometimes it's best not to try to explain what somebody else is thinking. You know, I made some comments about what the president was trying to say, and that's really not my place to do that. You know, the very fact is this is a very generous country, and a lot of people want to come here for a lot of reasons, and I respect that. I don't think it's helpful. In fact, it's probably harmful to get bogged down in a discussion about who's better qualified to come to America under some kind of immigration policy than others. Let's just say this, that we've been a beacon for all, and we should remain a beacon to all people.
U.S. Representative Steve Womack out of Northwest Arkansas's 3rd Congressional District, the newly minted chair of the House Budget Committee. Thanks a lot for your time and walking us through all this.
My pleasure.
I'm Jacob Kaufman, KUAR News.